the following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 1, text number 36. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Thikari. Recorded on December 9th, 2015, in London, England.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Papam eva ashrayat asman hatva etan atatayana tasmat na arha vayam hantum dhratarashtran Sabhandavan Svajanam Hi Katam Hadva Sukhina Syama Madhava Papamevashrayad Asman Hadvaitan Natatayana Tasman nahavayang hantum Dattarashan sabandavan Svajannam hikatam hadva Sukhinasyam amarava Papam mevashrayad asman Hatvaitan atatayana Tasman nahavayang hantum Dartarashan sabandavan Svajanam hikatam hatva Sukhinas yamamarava Papam Vices, eva, certainly, ashrayat, must come upon, asman, us, hadva, by killing, etan, all these, atatayana, aggressors, tasmat, therefore, na, never, aha, deserving, vayam, we, antum, to kill, dhritarashtran, the sons of Dhritarashtra, sambhandavan, along with friends, svajanam, kinsmen, he, certainly, katam, how, hatva, by killing, sukhina, happy, siyama, will we become, madhava, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune. Translation and purport by our beloved founder Acharya, the savior of the whole universe, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not possible for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? Purport. According to Vedic injunctions, there are six kinds of aggressors. One, a poison giver. Two, one who sets fire to the house. Three, one who attacks with deadly weapons. 4, one who plunders riches. 5, one who occupies another's land. And 6, one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors were at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors. Such killing of aggressors is quite befitting any ordinary man, but Arjuna was not an ordinary person. He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness. This kind of saintliness, however, is not for a kshatriya. Although a responsible man in the administrative of a state is required to be saintly, he should not be cowardly. For example, Lord Ram was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Ram, Ram Raja. But Lord Ram never showed any cowardice. Ravana was an aggressor against Ram because Ravana kidnapped Rama's wife Sita, but Lord Ram gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandsons, etc. Because of them, Arjuna thought that he should not take the severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive. Such injunctions for saintly persons are more important than any political emergency. Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it would be better to forgive them on grounds of religion and saintly behavior. He did not therefore consider such killing profitable simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness. After all, kingdom and pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent. So why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen? Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Madhava, or the husband of the goddess of fortune, is also significant in this connection. He wanted to point out to Krishna that as husband of the goddess of fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine.
So, on a very significant point here, at the conclusion of this purport, Arjuna is inducing Krishna to don't ask me to do something that will bring misfortune. After all, you are the husband of the goddess of fortune. But this is Arjuna's mistake. He's thinking that Krishna is giving me an instruction which by doing it, it will create misfortune. You see, that is not possible. That is not possible. By following the instructions of Krishna, there is always good fortune. It may appear to be misfortune, but that is only apparent misfortune. The fact is that Krishna is all auspicious. which means everything about Krishna bestows all good fortune upon everyone at every minute. And that also means that the instructions of Krishna are all auspicious. They bestow good fortune upon everyone. So, if even Arjuna, such a great, exalted, eternal associate of the Lord, can be illusion, what is our position, ladies and gentlemen? What is our position? If Arjuna can be illusioned, do you think it's possible that we could be illusioned? No response. Yeah, okay, good. You're with me. Thank you. Yes, we have the tendency to be illusioned. We study this in the famous four defects. We have imperfect senses, and because of these imperfect senses, we therefore have the tendency to be illusioned. And because we have the tendency to be illusioned, therefore we make so many mistakes. And in spite of speaking of making so many mistakes, we think, yes, I'm a great, intelligent person. I never do anything wrong. You see, that's called cheating. So imperfect senses, tendency to be illusioned, making mistakes and becoming very proud of how great we are in spite of our fallen natures, you see. These are the four defects which torment us, the four defects that keep us entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So how do we get out of this unfortunate position? You see? As we progress through the Gita, we will see that Arjuna changes his tune in the second chapter. Karpanya dosho pahata sabhava prishamitvang dharma samudda cheta yat shrayan sadrishtitam murhi manme shishashte hang shadi mang tvang prapanam. Now I have lost all composure due to a miserly weakness. I'm completely bewildered, so I see no solution except I now become your disciple. I surrender unto you fully. Please instruct me. Because you know what is good for me. You see? So we should learn from the foibles of Arjuna and from the realization of Arjuna how we can get out of our illusion state of suffering in the cycle of birth and death. You see? We have to learn from Arjuna's example. We do have a tendency to think we don't really need this. That's a fact. That's why we don't take it fully. That's why we remain in the middle position. Not karmi and not devotee, somewhere in between being a karmi and a devotee. You see? We don't fully take it up. We don't fully embrace it because we're still hanging on to the false conception that I can enjoy this material world somehow or other, hope against hope, that I can enjoy here. You see, we're holding on foolishly, tenaciously holding on to this idea that I can still enjoy this material world. Isn't it? Yes, we do. So we have to, the beauty of the Gita is you see a person, of course Arjuna it's a role play really. Arjuna is playing a role for our benefit. He's an eternally liberated associate of Krishna. But he's showing that even somebody who's completely off the track, who's thinking, how can I evade Krishna when pleasing my family members is more important than pleasing Krishna? Can you imagine how illusioned he is here in chapter 1? Pleasing my family members and my friends is more important than pleasing Krishna. Actually, we fall into the same trap. You see? Well, got to please my family members, my friends. Well, how many family members and friends have you had, and how many millions and millions of births in your sojourn here in the cycle of birth and death? Even unlimited friends and family members. And where has pleasing them gotten you? It's gotten you into another damn rotting body, you see. So it's time to wise up, ladies and gentlemen, and realize that I have one duty, Eka Dharma. I have one duty and one duty only, and that is to please Krishna. He is my original friend. He is my best friend. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna is absolutely the best friend. So put Krishna in the center now. You see. What about my family? What about my friend? Well, I can tell you this. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. You see. When you put Krishna first, then you become the best husband, the best wife, the best daughter, the best son, the best mother, the best friend, the best leader, the best guru, whatever your relationship is. When you when you put Krishna in the center, you become perfect in that relationship. Because that is what is meant to be. Krishna is the center of existence. And unless you acknowledge that by your thoughts, your words, and your deeds in all places and circumstances, you're off the track. You're screwed up. You are screwed up. Royally screwed up. So put Krishna back in the center. Just try it. You'll like it. Just say, all right, my dear Lord Krishna, I know I've been a rascal for all these millions of lifetimes. But now, my Lord, I've tried enjoying separately from you, and I was a complete, utter, total failure. So now, my dear Lord, please bless me. I can be fully absorbed in serving and pleasing you 24/7 with my every thought, word, and deed, in every single situation I find myself in with my family, with my friends, at work, at school, or wherever I am, at the grocery store, at the doctor's office. In all situations, may I be totally, purely absorbed in pleasing you. And you know the benefit of doing this? Prabhupada explains, when you become fully pleasing to Krishna, Krishna personally reveals himself to you. Wow. He talks with you. He blesses you. Can you imagine? One day you're doing a devotional service so nicely that Krishna, all of a sudden Krishna appears. Wouldn't that be something? Wow. I live for that day. You say, I live for that day. When you're doing a stupid service so nicely that Krishna, wow, Krishna has come. He's manifest. Of course, he's always there, but we can't see him. Krishna is always present. But we're blinded by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, illusion, and envy. We can't see Krishna. We can see the deity, that's his special kindness. We can see the spiritual master who represents him, that's his special kindness. But we can't directly see him due to our material contamination. You understand? But when you follow the instructions of the scriptures, the spiritual master, and the sadhus, the devotees, and you take the medicine, the medicinal treatment they are giving you, you see, and along with the diet, the medicine is the holy name, and the diet is prasadam. You see. We need to change the UK, you know. It's really gross. You come to the airport and it says beef eaters. I came to Terminal 3 and there was a big picture. Some guy in some fancy red outfit that says beef eaters, like this some prestigious thing to be a beef eater. I mean, how gross country you have here. Beef eaters, like the national hero, a beef eater. I couldn't imagine. You need to go there and scratch out beef eater and put prasadam eaters, you know. The UK should be known as prasadam eaters, not beef eaters, you see. You guys and girls, you have to revolutionize this country now, you see. You got to revolutionize the UK. Make this the prasadam eaters, not the beef eaters. They're moving away from it? I'm a little deaf. I can't hear, so maybe somebody can come here and tell me in my ear.
He's saying it's the name of a restaurant.
It's the name of a restaurant? Oh, but they have a big thing in the airport. It's just some guy in a red uniform, fancy, all traditional uniform called beef eater.
It is. They're the guards of the tower.
The guards of the tower are called beef eaters.
Yes.
Yeah. The famous tower guard. They should become prasadam eaters. And so you come to the, you land in the UK, it should say prasadam eaters instead of beef eaters. That's so gross. I came by it, you know, we're coming through, trying to get to the queue as fast as we can, you know, so we wouldn't be stuck forever in the line. We're rushing down, you know, boom, 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 and like beef eaters, oh my God, beef eaters, what a gross thing they're promoting here in the UK, beef eaters. So anyway, while there's some papers there for questions, I see the papers are all blank, that means nobody has any questions. But feel free. Here's coming one. Here comes one. Okay. How do I balance my family and home obligations with pleasing Krishna and devotional service? Do it for Krishna. I remember one of our devotees, a girl in Toronto. She was working on a master's degree, an MBA, very intense. There's an article in Bhakti Gautam magazine, very nice article many years ago. She was trying to balance her spiritual life and her working on her MBA, and she was really stressed out. She came home from an exhausting day at the school with papers to write, exam to study for, and her Japa beads were sitting there. They had been touched the whole day. And she was going, what should I do? You know, the Japa 16 round, write a paper, study for an exam. It's late in the evening already. What to do? But then she thought, well, I'll do the rounds first. And after doing her rounds, that everything else fit. Now I'm studying. I'm doing this for Krishna. You see, I'm doing this for Krishna. See, if you put Krishna first, do your chanting first. Get up early in the morning. get up really early if your body allows that, as far as possible, and chant your rounds. Put Krishna first, and then you'll understand that family means an opportunity to give Krishna to others. That's what family life means. Otherwise, you're just like nothing more than a dog or a cat. If your family night is not for making your family Krishna conscious, you're no better than a dog or a cat. What good is your family life? It's a dog and cat life. But if you put Krishna first, in your heart, in your mind, you're always thinking, I have to do everything to please Krishna. If you do that, then you become the best mother, the best wife, etc. And everything will become wonderful in your family life. Okay, what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? That means everything. I have to do everything for His pleasure, you see. The Bible, Christ describes it also. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You have to do what Krishna always. What does Krishna want me to do now? Not what do I want, what does Krishna want? Surrender means you always do what Krishna wants. You learn how to do that by studying the scriptures, by accepting a spiritual master, and by taking guidance from those who purely present the spiritual master's teachings and the Vedic scriptures, the bona fide sadhus. Okay. How to only put Krishna at the center, but avoid in giving an impression to others that I'm a fanatic. Fanatic means you don't know why you're doing it. That's what it means to be a fanatic. You're blindly doing something. Therefore, you read the books, understand the science of bhakti. If someone says, why are you putting that mark on your forehead? Well, I don't know, the devotees of the temple told me I have to do this, so I do it. You know? That's a fanatic. Of course, it's that fanaticism is better than being not a devotee, of course. But the best thing is to know why you're putting tilak on, you see. I'm putting tilak on to please Krishna, to please my spiritual master, to please the devotees. I'm putting in tilak on also to advertise to the world Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada said these things are all optional in one conversation. Our devotional dress, all this is optional. Because he was talking about the devotees. He said, Kanti Mala and Tilak, they were mandatory. So it's a different thing. But even the Vaishnava dress, Prabhupada said, but he encouraged us to wear that because he said that actually advertises Krishna consciousness. And we saw that. We arrived at the airport the day we came in, and my wife and I and my devotee and Sari immediately, as soon as we got to the, came in, some lady at the, one of the officials said, Hare Krishna. You see? That's very nice. Hare Krishna, one of the officials at the airport. So it's actually, there's many good reasons why we do what we do. Papa didn't have a, they're not doing anything blindly here. Everything we do has a good reason. So find out the reasons why you're doing everything. You should know why I'm putting on a sari, why am I putting on tilak, why am I you know, chanting Hare Krishna and japa mala beads. Why am I offering food? You should know the science behind everything. Then you won't be a fanatic. You're blindly, yes, you're a fanatic. But it's better to be a blind follower than not to follow at all. But for preaching, you need to know why, because you can't be an effective preacher if you don't know why. And for your own benefit also, if you don't know why, you'll give it up today or tomorrow or next week. You need to know why for your own longevity in this pathway. You see? You need to know why, for your own sake and for the sake of preaching. Two reasons. You should know why everything. Why do I need a guru? Why do I need to follow Prabhupada's books? You should know why about it. You should be able to answer every question. You should be so convinced and so learned in this philosophy that if the world leaders ask you to do a seminar on the science of Krishna consciousness, you'll be able to convince all the world leaders to take up Prabhupada's movement. That's how convinced you should be and articulate you should be with this philosophy. Then if you were asked to do a seminar for all the world leaders, you see, all the prime ministers, the presidents, the kings, the queens, all the world leaders said, we heard that you Hare Krishnas have something that may solve the problems of the world. Can you give us a seminar? All leaders are going to come together for a seminar. We'd like you to give us a seminar on Krishna consciousness. Could you do it? Could you pull it off? Are you that learned and that convinced in these teachings? You need to be. You need to be. Every devotee, especially those who are second initiated, a Brahmin means the spiritual master of the whole human society. So especially our second initiated devotees should be that learned and expert in understanding and their ability to present our Krishna consciousness. So you have to hear, you have to read, you have to assimilate this knowledge to be able to purely represent it to whoever you meet. Because you never know who you can impact. Even if you can just impact one person. Prabhupada said, I consider that if I can make even one person a pure devotee, my mission would be successful. So even if you can just make one person a pure devotee in your lifetime, you see, that'll be the greatest success. So you never know when you're going to get a preaching opportunity. You have to be ready when it comes. Just like today on the coming in on the flight attendant said, why did you get into this? Krishna consciousness. You want to know why I got into it, how I got into it. So I gave her a brief explanation. Now she says she's going to sign up for my e-course, you see, because she liked the way I explained it to her. So we have to become knowledgeable and convinced that it's not some fanaticism. Okay, can you... As you mentioned, sometimes we sometimes cannot concern too much people around us. Okay. Recently, I went to a Hindu temple to give away some books. They asked me to give a donation. Wait a minute, they should be giving a donation for the book. Asking you to give a donation? They asked me to give a donation. Is it okay to give a donation to a Hindu temple? Should we be thinking that I should be only giving every penny to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna? Though they should be giving a donation for the book. Otherwise, they just think it's some garbage. Prabhupada said when they give money for it, then they'll think it's valuable. So you should convince them to give a donation for the books. That's the best thing. How can I do a reality check on my spiritual progress? Well, how do you know when you're taking a feast, for example, how do you know when you're full? Seconds? Thirds? How do you know where to draw the line? You can feel it in your body, you see. You can experience it yourself. Oh, I'm getting pretty full now. You see. So Krishna Prabhupada often quotes the Bhagavatam verse like this. Bhakti Pareshvanu Varo Bhaktir Nyanyatra Chai Shatruka Eka Kalaha Prapadyama Nashri Tashta Nashu Stushti Puchi Shadabasho Nakhasam. Just devotion, bhakti, Parishanu, experiencing Krishna everywhere in Viraktir, becoming detached from all types of material sense gratification, and occur increasingly for one who is engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, just as nourishment, satisfaction of the tongue, and ratification of hunger occur increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in the process known as eating. So if you can gauge your own eating, you can also gauge your own advancement in Krishna consciousness by 3 points. How much are you feeling love? You see? Do you sometimes cry when you see the deities? And when you think of Krishna? Or you think of Prabhupada? Do you think of your spiritual master? Are you getting a softening of the heart sometimes? You see, sometimes does that happen to you? Is your heart softening sometimes when you hear the holy name sometimes? Or you think about some pastime, or you go to a holy place? Do you feel anything? That's one thing. You're becoming more and more aware how Krishna is acting in every situation. Prabhupada said, not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. He so told us in Vrindavan, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. To see that, you see. So you're becoming more aware of how Krishna is acting in every situation. Everything is ultimately under His supreme orchestration. Are you becoming more aware of that in everything? You go through it every minute. Krishna is blessing me at every minute in every situation. He's never absent. He's always present. And everything is being arranged by Him to help me get out of Maya. You see, you're becoming more aware of them. You see. And Viraktir, are you becoming detached from sense gratification? Are you still thinking about those pretty girls over there? Those young, good-looking girls? Are you thinking they're your mothers? Is it, for an example? Are you becoming detached from sense gratification? So that's some ways you can judge your spiritual progress. Why does surrendering to Krishna seem fearful? Because we're in ignorance. That's due to ignorance. And how do we overcome that fear? By becoming enlightened with transcendental knowledge, by hearing from realized devotees, by reading Prabhupada's books. You become knowledgeable, and the more you become knowledgeable, the more your fear will go away, because nothing to be afraid of. Just like we were taking off from the U.S., there was some mechanical problems with the plane. We were 3 hours late taking off from Chicago last night. But I was thinking, well, how expert are they really in solving all the mechanical problems? As our plane was lifting off, thinking, maybe we'll crash, you know. Maybe we'll crash. I was thinking like that. Because, you know, our senses are imperfect, right? They spent 3 hours solving the mechanical problems of the airplane so we can safely fly across the Atlantic all the way to London. Well, what happens if they made some mistake? You know, these are conditioned souls. They can make mistakes. What if they made some mistakes on correcting the mechanical problems of the aircraft? I was thinking, well, you know, we may go down. It may crash. And what will I think if all of a sudden the air... You know, I had all my arrangements there. I had my computer, I was doing my emails, everything. I mean, control of everything. You know, I got my computer plugged in, doing some emails, you know, everything's fine. But I was saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, you think you're in control? You're not in control, Sankarshanda. This thing could go crashing down, it could all be over, finished. You hit the ocean, kwam, you'd be shot out of the body. So, are you cool with that? I was thinking, Sankarshan Das, are you cool with that? If that happens, you're ready for it? Can you handle it? If your plane goes down, you're going to die right now. You can handle that. I was thinking, well, I don't know. I should be. I knew I should be. I wasn't convinced that I really was fully ready for it, but I knew that I should be ready for it, you see. So in this way, we have to be introspective. You have to be introspective. We have to be ready at any minute. When Krishna wants to take us, we have to go. We have to be attached, completely detached from whatever situation you're in, you see. Because this is not your real eternal position. You're actually an eternal associate of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. You know that? You are one of Krishna's eternal associates in his transcendental pastimes. That's who you actually are. You're not that body. You're not a member of a particular family. You're not a member of a particular nation. You're not a particular gender. You're not a particular age in this material world. That's not you. It's just a dream state. That's not really you. You're an eternal associate of Krishna in his pastimes. But you thought you could enjoy separately, and Krishna said, okay, go ahead and give it a try. It's like the kid, Prabhupada's kid, wanted to stick his hand in the fan. You know that story? His child was curious about the fan. In those days, they had fans. Even my grandmother had such a fan when I was a kid. Now, my parents' house, the fan had very thick grill. You couldn't get your hand through it. But the older style fans, they had big openings. You could actually, a kid could stick your hand through there, you see. My grandmother's fan was like them. You could stick your hand in it. So you had to be careful at grandma's house not to stick your hand in the fan, you see. There was no protection. So they had fans like that also in India where you could stick your hand in. So Prabhupada's kid wanted to do that. And his friend said, well, let him do it, but turn the fan very slow so he doesn't injure himself. Just give him a little ting on the finger. So they turned the fan really slow and let the kid stick his hand in the fan. The kid learned his lesson. I'm not going to do that again, you see. So Krishna has allowed us to stick our hand in the fan because we were curious what it was like to be God, you see, to be the supreme, the center of enjoyment. He gave us a chance to do it. So now learn your lesson. Now learn your lesson and realize you made a big mistake by wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. Now learn from this lesson and get back to your original position. You have the guru to guide you. You have the sadhus to guide you. You have the scripture to guide you. These are called the three parallel lines of authority mentioned by Prabhupada. Take these three parallel lines of authority, the guru, the sadhus, and the scriptures, and go back, get back to your original position. Could you please explain the relationship between the soul and the super soul, servant and master, and what happens when they leave the body after the point of death? The super soul, Prabhupada explains, is not the Paramatma, is only in the material world. In the spiritual, he's an expansion of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So you don't have. In the spiritual world, you have, instead of having the Paramatma, you see there's Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, the three features of the Absolute. In the spiritual world, you're directly associating with Bhagavan, so who needs Paramatma? You see? You are directly, in fact, Krishna can expand a form just for you. You can have your own private relation, just like each gopi had her own Krishna in the Rasa Lila dance. In the spiritual world, you can have your own private relationship with Krishna. He can be all yours. Just as you become all his, he becomes all yours. He reciprocates with you in kind. When you become totally dedicated to him, he's totally dedicated to you. So you don't need the Paramatma. You got Krishna completely. Krishna becomes your personal property when you go back to God. That's the intimacy of a loving relationship. He becomes your personal property. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. So who needs the Paramatma when you got Bhagavan himself? Okay. Actually, I see one more question manifesting. Are you writing some notes or writing a question?
A question.
All right, we'll wait for you to finish. Finish writing it.
There's one more here.
Oh, here's another one. Okay. So this will be the last question. This gentleman's question will be the last one. How to find your true spiritual master? It used to be simple. When I joined ISKCON, there was no question, you know. Prabhupada. That's it. They're all, anyone except Prabhupada is bogus. Swami Svachidananda, he said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. He's bogus. Maharishi said, you just chant, ang, ang, ang. You realize that you're God. He was bogus. They're all bogus, so there was no problem. Just Prabhupada's it, and that's it. No word, you know, it was so simple. But now it's a little more complicated because there's about maybe 100 gurus, you know. What do you do? Put the names in a hat and just draw one? I mean, how do you figure out who's your guru in ISKCON nowadays? Well, the thing is, it's kind of cool in a way. It really, it's like you go to a shopping mall, you know, looking for a new hat or whatever, new pair of gloves. You check out this one, check out that one, see what works the best for you. I mean, I'm just saying practical. See who inspires you the most in your Krishna consciousness. The guru is not, well, who's the most famous or who's the most good looking or, you know, who has the sweetest voice. These are external things. You have to see who inspires me the most to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's what you should see. Who inspires me the most to become a pure devotee of Krishna? That's where you should take initiation. Which one, you know, touches my heart in a way that no one else touches it, to become a pure devotee as soon as possible? That's where you should take initiation. Prabhupada actually says in a letter we received in Austin when I was there back in 72, he said, actually you only have one guru, and that's the one who initiates you. So you better, you know, you should be very judicious. Take your time, do it right. Prabhupada, you only have one guru, and that's the one who initiates you. Others who present the same teachings as your initiating guru, they are a siksha guru. So take your time, do it right. Find that one person that inspires you the most to become fully surrendered to Krishna and give your all to that person, you see. Okay. What is the destination of the yogi who meditates on the Paramatma and leaves his body? It depends on... the yogi can go one of two ways. If he thinks that he is the Paramatma, then he merges into Brahman, you see. But this is, you have to understand, this is after thousands of millions of years. The path of the yogis is a very arduous path. It's not a quick and easy thing. It's described in the Brahma Samhita, if I can remember the verse now. Pantastukoti satavatsarapan bragam yo vayuratabi manaso munipun gavanam so piyasti yat papachinya vachinta tat vego vindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiate the Brahman after the process by the process of meditation extending over thousands of millions of years. So it's confirmed in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's purport. The process of the yogis takes thousands and millions of years to perfect it. That means becoming a yogi, coming back many, many times as a yogi, birth after birth after birth. Now the yogis can live like 300 years. Some of these yogis have come down to the Kumbh Mela from the Himalayas, 300 years old, some of them. But they don't do it in one birth. They had to come back a yogi again and again and again, many, many, many births, thousands and millions of years, Brahma Brahman states. And finally, they can either understand that Paramatma is actually the Supreme Person, become devotees, or they merge into Brahman and stay there for some time and then fall back down to material existence. So it's good to know about it. Why you shouldn't follow that path? It's not practical. And if you do want to follow that path, you're in the wrong place. You should go to the Himalayas. London's not the place. You got to go to the Himalayas. No more haircuts, no more nail clippers, no more mobile phone, no more bank balance. Just, you know, you live in a cave, you eat some berries, you go down to get a drink of water in the river, and that's it for your whole life. And be studying under the yogis, and you have to do that for hundreds and millions of years. And then you can finally either merge in Brahman or become a devotee. So why waste time? Just become a devotee now. Fully dedicate yourself to Krishna now. Find a bona fide guru, fully surrender to him, follow his instructions, and get out of this material world in this lifetime. You see? Huh? Okay, so that's it. We thank you all for coming, as we say in Texas. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.